Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Lucius. Let's get some answers on what all went wrong for the Cowboys in yesterday's 31-17 embarrassing defeat at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
Brian Broaddus and Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that very, very much. Thank you to Reliant as well for being a part of this. Hey, Dawson, I know we were talking about Kenny Clark, right? Kenny Clark, run defender, Kenny Clark
yep.
guy? Team. I just looked up something real quick. I just wanted to point this out. When Clark has been off the field, there have been 40 rushes for 169 yards, 3 touchdowns, average about 4.2 yards a play. The offense has had 4 explosive plays. That's 10 yards more a rush, right? And they've had 8, Dallas has had 8 run stuffs when he's off the field. When he's on the field, they've had 48 attempts against him for a 169, so about 9 yards difference. 1 touchdown, 3.3 yards per carry, so it's 4.2 with him off, 3.3 with him on. They've given up 5 explosive plays with him being on, but they've got 14 run stuffs with him on the field.
Well, he's their best overall defensive player. He's also leading the team in pressures.
Yeah.
And the guy's been pretty damn good.
So you're also in a situation where do people run the ball on Dallas? They run the ball 52% of the time. They run it outside, and then the 42% inside is where people run it. I've been running it at least this year. 48% to the strong side, 34% to the weak side. So that's kind of a little bit of a metric.
Hasn't been bad with him off the field either. I think 4.2 is right around league average right now.
Yeah, they're right around that. I thought was interesting was the explosives. There's like, you know, with him off the field, they've actually have more explosives 10-yard runs with him on the field than off the field. Just one. It's not a huge number. It's not like, but the run stuffs are impressive. You know, 14 run stuffs to 8 run stuffs depending off and on the field. Stuff.
Can't imagine life without him at this point.
No.
He wouldn't have any strength to you.
Okay, no. Brian, before you get into this, I got to ask you, because our guy called in last night and wanted to know about the Dak running stuff, and he's been texting into the show.
Yeah.
You're like, check back in at 3:40. I'll look and see if you noticed any times that Dak should have taken off and ran.
I tell you what, though, there were a couple times he's not wrong. There were Dak should have taken off and run. You know, I don't know if that's something you want to make a living at, but yeah, the caller asked last night, it's like, well, wait, how many? I saw some times. I forgot the caller's name. I'm sorry. Does he put it on the text?
I got to look back at it.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, there were a couple different times where Dak could have taken off and run instead of throwing the ball or checking it down, maybe using his legs a little more. So, yes, that was actually factual. So I hope that got that answered for him. All right. What do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about how about this offensive line first? Can I do that?
Please.
Is that possible to talk about the offensive line?
Yeah, because I wanted to know if you feel like maybe it's time to see Nate Thomas and Charles Adeniji.
My observation, Zach, again, help me out here because you're kind of an offensive line guy too. I kind of felt like that Terrence Steele as a run blocker was good in this. Terrence Steele as a pass blocker, not good.
Agreed.
Okay, that's where I would take that. Guyton, I think Guyton's biggest problem was that one sack. But other than that, I kind of felt like that Guyton wasn't a guy that was a liability in this football game. I just felt like Terrence Steele had more problems than what Tyler Guyton had.
Yeah, in pass protection, I would agree. I thought Guyton was better this week than he was last week.
Yeah. It seemed like to me that he was, there were some times where they didn't help these guys all along. But the one thing that Terrence Steele can do is run block. I don't know how a guy that's kind of really light in the rear can do as well as he does. He's got a good feel for how to work with these tight ends. He has a good feel for how to work with Booker. There were a couple of runs where Terrence Steele, and it made me think, because I made that last night, I tweeted out, I'm like, this is the game that we're going to see Nate Thomas. This is the game that's going to get Terrence Steele kicked to the curb, and Nate Thomas is going to come in. I'd have to say that Steele with the run blocking stuff was where it needed to be. The pass blocking stuff is a problem. It's not.
Now, I did think Booker was really good, especially in the running game. And I thought Brock Hoffman, and it's funny watching Brock Hoffman, man. He's mixing it up after every play. I mean, him and Dexter were going at it. Yeah. I did think, and I wanted to go back and watch some of the snaps. That was something I didn't notice any like hesitation.
Yeah, I didn't notice.
It was Thomas, by the way, who was the caller. Shout out to Thomas.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling in last night.
Almost all of them are better in the run game than the pass game, though.
The thing with Brock Hoffman, the shot, and I believe I'm right about this, the shot that Dak took down the field that got to Turpin, that whole shot thing I was talking about, that was Hoffman got beat, and Dak stood there and threw it. I mean, it was close. I mean, he's going to get hit in the face, and Dak stood there and made that throw. But I thought Hoffman, I didn't think he was terrible in this game.
I thought especially in the run game, I thought he was really good.
Yeah, I really didn't. I said this earlier. I'm not really, really sure, like with George Pickens with those routes. I'm just going to probably have to say that George Pickens is not a ideal route runner.
I mean, even on the touchdown, it was pathetic how he was sort of coasting into it and then turns, and it's like he's just not taking it seriously.
Well, And I broke that. That was one of the plays. That was one of those plays. I said this in my notes, Dawson. I said Pickens TD. I go, it's almost like Pickens wasn't expecting the ball to come his way. All the
action, like it was a run play. He was going through the motions.
All the action was going to his right.
He might have sold it. That could have been intentional.
Oh, I mean, he could have slow played this thing, and it'd been, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, that's a damn good route, bro. That's what the hell are you talking about? But all the action was going away from him, and it's like he realized he had a chance for a play, and then that's where he broke away from Wright. He's like, okay, well, wow, maybe they're actually going to – because Dak kind of just – everything is going to his right, and Dak says, no, I'm coming back, throwing this ball to the left.
Possibly very clever, but in the context of all his other routes, I don't want to give him too much credit for it.
No, that is a
– Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a loaf that turned into a touchdown.
Yeah.
And a great catch.
Yeah, absolute great catch. Williams fumble. I thought this was really a well-designed play.
Gosh.
And the execution for the most part was really, really good. I thought there were really good blocks at the point of attack. Pickens actually got a block here. Guyton and Smith were also really, really big on this one. Tolbert got just enough of Stevenson, but the problem was he didn't run with him. And Stevenson was able to chase the play. That's just a – you just got to get – it's a heck of an effort play by Stevenson.
He was an amazing individual
to finish that play off.
And it was lucky. He's going for the punch, and he misses, and somehow the ball gets wedged in between his bicep and his forearm, and he pulls it out. It was just a bizarre, bizarre deal.
I was praying he was out of bounds. Like, there's no way. Please be out of bounds. That did not just happen.
It's incredible how everything was going so well. You get the stop. You get back-to-back big runs from Javonte Williams, and then they score. CD gets hurt, and you give the ball away. And then you come all the way back to tie it with the two-point conversion. Yeah. It's like, okay, game back on. And once again, I felt like, all right, the Cowboys are going to go ahead and take care of this game, but they didn't score again.
Yeah.
Wild.
That real quick, too, that two-point conversion was actually a pretty good play by Tolbert.
Yeah, that was.
Zach and I have talked about that. Because they're doubling Ferguson, and Tolbert does a great job of leaning on McLeod. Mm-hmm. Again, a guy you needed to go after more than they did.
I don't think they really threw at him at all, Brian.
3 for 3.
I mean, not him and Wright. It's in hindsight, 10 of 11 kicking themselves.
10 of 11 against those two guys. And then they're attacking Stevenson on the other side. I didn't get it myself. But really good job by Tolbert leaning on McLeod to the outside and then breaking inside. Those are the things that Tolbert can do.
He works back to the ball really well.
He does work back to the ball pretty well. The protection on that play was outstanding. Right before half, I'm going to talk about real quick. Remember when they didn't have a timeout left? They didn't. They used the timeout early. So now.
And why? If you're going to go up there, run the play.
Run the play or punt it.
Don't waste a timeout there. Yep. I didn't love that clock management.
Not at all. Pickens was able to win off the line, and he's got separation down the field. And he's got a couple of options here. Turpin at midfield or Pickens down the sidelines. And he kind of rolls to his right to buy some time, and those are the Ferguson, but that keeps him in bounds. That was one of those things where, like, if he could have sat in the pocket a little bit longer, he sees Pickens down the sidelines, or he throws the ball, like I say, to Turpin, and they're at midfield, and then you get out of bounds and you try and kick a field goal there. But him having to move a little bit, that kind of messed him up with that. The Pickens interception, that was totally on him. He tries to run an in-breaking route, and he just, after Prescott broke the pocket to his right, he's open. Prescott puts the ball right where he needs to put it, right on his hands. He just kind of volleyballs it in the air, and that's where Stevenson was waiting. But just a terrible situation at that point of the game for them to have that interception right there. But that was a good adjust. He's coming inside. Dak's like, gets him to work to the outside. Dak, by moving, gets him to go with him to throw him the ball. It just clangs off his hands there. The third and long play was another one that I kind of had a problem with. This was the one where he throws the ball. He just dumps the ball down to Ferguson.
Mm-hmm. Was it like third? Was that after the sack?
Yeah, that was after the sack.
Oh, third and 15. You're just going to throw it to the line of scrimmage. Right.
First drive of the half.
That's just a give up play.
The Bears in this play, they blitz the slot, and Dak feels that. If he had time to make this throw, they had another play down the field. They had another route that was open down the field. Tolbert and Flournoy run what we call a switch, and they're both together, and you get Flournoy he's on the outside, he breaks inside, and then you get Tolbert behind him. So if there's a little bit of some opportunity, if Dak basically tried to get the ball out because he felt the blitz, but if somehow he had a little bit more time, that was going to be a huge play down the sidelines. But there were some times where Dak checked that ball down. I mentioned there were some hole shots they had in this game. He's going to have to be perfect the rest of the way. Unfortunate, it's not a blame. It's not anything. It's he's going to have to play perfect football because they really have no other opportunities with the way that this defense played. You know, the Kmet touchdown. I'm not really sure what Wilson. I'm not sure if this is a Wilson problem or a Murray problem. Murray steps up on the run fake by Swift. Wilson's eyes are in the backfield, and he just drops wide. Williams is kind of looking at Kmet the entire time, and he's never going to have an easier touchdown than that one was. Because I was really confused of, was it a Wilson problem or was it a Murray problem there? The Moore touchdowns. This one, I don't know. I asked the question. One side of the defense looks like they're playing man. In Dawson, we talked about this. One side's playing zone. So you got Hooker, Stewart, and Bridges are all settling like they're playing zone. And Hooker then widens when Williams breaks the pocket. And after the snap, Hooker's looking at Sanborn and Wilson like, what happened? You know, what was the problem here? Why did we not pick that guy up behind? You're just not going to get two easier touchdowns than those two right there for and if I could do one more real quick.
You then. Got it.
Okay, the Burden touchdown. Mazi Smith wasn't on the stat sheet, but honestly, Mazi Smith almost, this is the handback. This is the
he almost got there.
Mazi almost blows this thing up because he gets really, really good penetration, but he can't tackle Swift. He's trying to tackle Swift, and Swift just pushes the ball back to Williams. He grabs it, and now you're launched on the play. What happens, though, is that Elam loses track of where Burden is, and who kind of slows plays off the line. We talked about that. Kind of comes off the ball slow. Elam reacts to the run, and now you got Burden behind. But Mazi Smith almost blew that play up to the point where it might have been a turnover.
Yeah.
But he just couldn't quite make the tackle right there.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Cornerback, just one of the most difficult positions in all of sport with the physical traits that you need, the awareness, the smarts, and the Cowboys really trying to do it with guys that mostly don't even belong on an NFL roster. What the hell, guys? Yeah. Maybe they can get a top five pick as a result as we're trying to find the positives. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us next?
All right, let's do a daily football fix. Freegal Izzy's NFL history and some sounds of the day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.